The portion of scripture for a meditation this morning is recorded for us in Paul's letter to the congregation in Rome, chapter 9, beginning with the 6th verse. Dear friends of Christ, a boy thinks that his older sister is getting some sort of preferential treatment from his parents. He stomps his feet, he yells, "It's not fair! Why does she always get more than me? Or why does she get to stay up later than I do?" He complains. No, he doesn't want much. He just wants what's fair. He simply wants to be treated the same way as his sister was treated. Life isn't fair, we're often told. And we know that life isn't fair, but that's not what we accept. No, when we perceive as something to be unfair, we often act like that brother. We complain. When it seems as if we're on the short end of something, we demand changes until things are not unfair. But it's funny. When we're on the short end, we complain, but rarely will we say anything if something is unfair and it's actually to our benefit. That's salvation. That's the Lord. It isn't fair, and that's a good thing. Because God doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. Instead, He gives us His grace and His mercy. Now, as a way to define the difference between what is fair or justice and mercy and grace, it has been said this way. When you get what you deserve, that's called justice. When you don't get what you deserve, that's mercy. And when you get what you don't deserve, that's called grace. Which one do you want? Do you want what is fair? Do you want justice to get what you deserve? Or do you want mercy and grace? By which one are you saved? Or by which ones are you saved? Why did God choose you? Is it because of justice? Is it because you earned it? Because you deserve it? What about the Old Testament believers? How were they saved? Well, let's go back to one of the first Old Testament believers, or the first we know about in detail. The father of believers, he is called Abraham. God chose Abraham, called him out of Ur of the Chaldeans, and he gave Abraham a threefold promise. The first part of that promise was that Abraham would become a great nation, too numerous to count. The second part of that promise was that Abraham's descendants would live in the promised land of Canaan. And the third was that all nations would be blessed through Abraham, meaning that the Savior of all nations, the Savior of the world, would come through his line. Now, why did God choose Abraham? We don't know. Abraham's father, Terah, bowed down and worshiped false gods, and we can assume that Abraham did too. There wasn't anything special about Abraham. He wasn't a better person than everybody else, and yet God chose him to be the father of all the living. And in order for all these blessings to come true, one thing needed to happen first. Abraham needed a child himself. Well, there's a pretty problem there. When God first gave this promise to Abraham, he was already pretty old. He was 75 and his wife Sarah was 65. And as the years went on, it seemed as if time was running out. So Sarah and Abraham decided to take matters into their own hands. And Sarah gave her servant, Hagar, to Abraham. The result was a son, Ishmael, Abraham's only child, his firstborn son, And everyone involved assumed that Ishmael was this child that God promised, that all these blessings given to Abraham would be fulfilled through Ishmael. And yet God had something else in mind. He came to Abraham and Sarah and he said, "When I return again in a year, Sarah will have a son." So when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, she gave birth to Isaac. And it was Isaac, the secondborn, not Ishmael, the firstborn, who was the child of the promise. It was through Isaac that all these blessings given to Abraham would be passed down and eventually fulfilled. Why did God choose Isaac instead of Ishmael? Under normal circumstances, the firstborn Ishmael would have received the birthright. Under normal circumstances, Ishmael would have had that blessing passed down to him. And yet, God chose Isaac. What about the next generation? Isaac, with his wife Rebekah, had two kids, twins. Esau, the older, Jacob, the younger. Again, under normal circumstances, normally, Esau would have received the blessing of the firstborn. He would have had the blessing passed down from Abraham and his father Isaac, given to him. Well, that's not what God planned. No, even before the world was created, God chose Jacob. And when Rebekah was pregnant with Esau and Jacob, he told Rebekah what he had decided. He said, "The older will serve the younger." In other words, the younger, Jacob, would be served by the older Esau. In other words, the younger Jacob would receive the blessing of the firstborn. The blessing given to Abraham would be passed down to the younger one. So God chose Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let's add one more. You. God chose you. He chose you to be saved. Even though you may not be a physical descendant of Abraham, you are his spiritual descendant. You make up true Israel, spiritual Israel. You are part of his chosen nation, one of his children. Even though you may not be one of Jacob's descendants, you are still part of Israel's family. There are many descendants of Abraham who aren't part of his family. Many physical descendants of Abraham, from Ishmael and his descendants, from Esau and his descendants, from even many descendants of Jacob. They're all physically descended from Abraham, but they're not Abraham's true spiritual descendants, as Paul explains, "For not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children." You fall into this category. You may not be descended from Abraham physically, but you are descended from him spiritually. You're not part of God's chosen nation. You're not a Jew, and yet God chose you to be part of true spiritual Israel. Why? Why did God choose you? Why did God choose Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? There's nothing about Abraham that made God choose him. God didn't choose him as the father of all nations, I mean, the spiritual father of us all, because there's something good in Abraham. Ishmael was Abraham's firstborn son, not Isaac. Jacob was the second one born to Isaac. And yet God chose Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why? Why did God choose you? Is it because of justice? When you are saved, you get what you deserve? Many believe so, and that's what our simple nature tries to convince us of. It says, if you try hard, if you do your best, if you are sincere, if you are a good person, if you are generally nice to others, if you are a better person than other people around you, well then God will save you. That you can get to heaven based on what you do. Our simple nature likes to take credit for itself. That there must be somehow, even if in some small way, that we can contribute or get credit just a little bit for our salvation. That we look at ourselves and see how good we are and how much love we show others and how many nice things we do, and why wouldn't God save us? Why wouldn't He give us eternal life? Because look how great we are. But look at who you are. Look at what you do and look at what you deserve. You were conceived and born in a sin. Not as a child of God, but as a child of devil. An enemy of God, who hated God, who didn't know anything of God, who couldn't do anything to obey God. And this original sin leads us to commit actual sins in our lives. We're self-centered. We often fail to put God first in our lives. We fail to show love to others. And so look what you deserve. God's wrath and punishment. The price we ought to pay for our sins is death, and not just physical death, but eternal death. So it can't be by justice. It can't be by justice that we are saved. Because if we get what we deserve, if it is by justice, then we'd be condemned, punished forever in hell. If it would be by justice, then we would never be saved. So then how then are you saved? Why did God choose you? Why did He choose Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Mercy. That is, when we don't get what we deserve. When God chose Jacob, even though He chose Jacob before Jacob would ever sin, would ever do anything, God knew full well what Jacob would do. He knew that Jacob would lie and deceive. He knew that Jacob would fail to trust in Him and to keep His promises. He knew that Jacob would play favorites with his children. He knew all of Jacob's sins. He knew all of Jacob's shortcomings. And yet, God chose Jacob. He knew Jacob deserved His wrath and punishment. He knew Jacob deserved to go to hell, and yet God chose him. That's mercy. And God chose you too. Despite who you are, despite what you do, He saved you. He won't treat you as your sins deserve. It's not really fair. Some might say it's unjust. But Paul says, what then shall we say? Is God unjust? Well, not at all. For He says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not therefore depend on man's effort or desire, but on God's mercy. Why did God choose you? Not because you wanted to be chosen. Not because you tried hard to be chosen. But simply because God chose you. He chose you to be saved because He chose you to be saved. Because that was His will. His will because of His mercy. But God isn't just a merciful God, He's also a just God. And as a just God, He demands payment for our sins. That payment is death. So So God sent his son, Jesus, who came down from heaven to live the perfect life that we could not live, to suffer on the cross as he took our sins upon himself, becoming a sinner in our place, and suffering the pain and agony of the eternal condemnation that our sins deserve, and giving us his perfect life, his obedience being credited to us. Then rising from the dead 3 days later to assure us that we too will rise from the dead, and through faith we will join him in heaven forever. Christ won for us salvation. He has given us the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. That's grace. When we get what we don't deserve. We don't deserve any gifts from God, especially the forgiveness of sins and eternal life, especially salvation, and yet God gives us that gift of grace. He gives us what we don't deserve. And notice then that God's grace isn't fair. It's not fair that Jesus had to suffer and die for our sins. It's not fair that Jesus had to go through the pain and agony of eternal damnation. And yet Jesus willingly did it. Out of his love and mercy and compassion that he has for us, he did what wasn't fair for him. It's not fair. But that's actually a good thing. We don't want it to be fair. We don't want our salvation to be fair, because if it was fair, we would never stand a chance. We can't gain eternal life. We can't do enough good things to get what we deserve and still go to heaven. As Paul said again, it doesn't depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. And that gives us comfort. It doesn't depend on me. It doesn't depend on what I have done. I don't have to worry about whether or not I have done enough, whether or not I have pleased God, or whether or not I have made the right decision to believe in God, whether or not I have felt the Holy Spirit live in me. Because our salvation does not depend on anything about ourselves or what we have done or who we are, but on Christ, who has done it all for us already. As Paul explains, that God's purpose in election might stand, not by works, but by him who calls. So why did God choose you to be saved? Not because you're a great person, not because you're cool, not because of the great things you have done. He chose you because he chose you. Out of his grace and mercy, he chose you to be saved. So instead of complaining that life isn't fair, we rejoice that our salvation isn't fair. It wasn't fair, that brother said when he thought his sister was getting some preferential treatment. Life isn't fair, and neither is salvation. But that's a good thing. If it was fair, we would suffer in hell forever for who we are and what we have done. Instead of justice, God gives us grace and mercy. In his mercy, he took away our sins and his condemnation so that we didn't get what we deserve. In his grace, he gives us the forgiveness of sins and eternal life so that we would receive what we don't deserve. He chose you to be saved. That isn't fair. And that's a good thing. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.